I had to think of what John shared and even what Brother Joshua shared with the children. I had to think of a verse in Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, where it says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." I was very, very inspired and encouraged already this morning, and the picture that John painted of, or gave us of, that cart that's not activated and the cart that is activated. Isn't that what the Bible is? The Word of God, His promises, if we don't activate them, if we don't claim it for ourselves as a body of Him, it's no use for us. And I also had to think of what Brother Joshua shared, that if we're not ready to meet God and we're out on a boat, it's a scary thing. But I want to assure all of us in here that if we're sitting in these pews this morning and we're not ready to meet God, that's also a scary place to be. So before we get into the message, maybe we can all kneel, whoever can. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we have many needs. We have need of You to be dwelling in us today again. Lord, we know that You care for every need that we have. And we come begging that You would minister to all of us today. Father, we need You and we want You. We ask that You are here in our midst, that we can be the light that You would have us be, that we can be walking in You, with You, for You, the way that You desire us to do. Father, we ask that You would come and anoint my lips, that I would share what You would have me share, and that I would refrain from speaking anything that You don't want spoken here. Lord, that we can be Your vessel, and that You can flow through us as we encourage each other, as we worship together, as we give our lives as a living sacrifice for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many things went through my mind thinking of what to share, encouragements, and I find often for myself things that I'm faced with, things that we're going through as a family, as that I'm going through personally, is often what the Lord keeps bringing back to my mind. And a verse that really ministered to me in the last couple weeks with what we're going through is where Paul, in the end of the book of Philippians, where he says, he gives a verse there in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 19, he says, "But my God," and then he says what his God does, "shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So I would like to just look at some of that, how our God is willing and is able and wants to supply our needs. And He is a God that wants to be served. The reality is He knows everything about every individual one of us in here. He knows every thought we have. He knows every concern we have about others, about ourselves. He knows if He spoke to us and we obeyed or not. He knows every relationship that we have, if it's good or not. He knows it all. And that can bring thankfulness to our heart that we actually can serve a God that cares and knows everything about us. And Paul understood that because he told the Philippians in a very confident way, he said, "My God shall supply all your needs." He had that confidence that his God was supplying his needs, even in whatever he was facing. He was facing much more than many of us have ever faced. But he had the confidence to know that God took care of him. And he encouraged them that he will supply all your need also. But there's something that needs to happen for that to be activated. The Greek definition of supply gives it as complete or full. My God shall fill all your need according to his riches. My God shall complete all your need. And sometimes we face situations where we think that God doesn't really care for me, or my need that I'm struggling with or that I'm faced with. Really? Does God really feel that way towards us? Not if we look in his word and how he cares for every need that we have. It's often a lack of faith on our part, or maybe disobedience, or maybe some sin that we're hanging on to that we don't want to let go. Or you might be here this morning very encouraged and blessed, and I feel that way, that we can be together like this and encouraging each other on. And I think that's how it should be. But very likely that's not how it is for every one of us here. And that's why we need a body. And that's how the body of Christ works. If someone's hurting, we're here to encourage each other. We're here to care for each other. Because the reality is our God cares. And I'll try to share some personal things for that we went through already. Just maybe it's some family things that we're facing. For us, it was one time I remember that we were struggling with to find answers of how to train our children, we wanted wisdom. We needed God's word to show us. We needed his provisions to, the way it was going, the way we were doing things weren't working like we thought they should. And we needed answers. So we did what? We prayed. We asked God to help us. And that's often, if we're feeling like God doesn't care about us, it's often because we're not looking to him. We're not seeking for him to fulfill that need. Because when we turned to God and we cried out to God and said, "We need help. We need you to help us in training our children." The very next day, my wife found a book on child training that has been very helpful. God cares and he knows. Maybe it's a relationship that's not where we know it should be. God knows. And if God is prompting us, let's do something about it. Let's forgive. Let's pray about it. Let's seek God. Let's communicate with each other. Maybe it's a personal struggle that we have. Bad habits that we're trying to overcome. We have to promise that if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. And every moment, God knows and he cares right where we are at. And he wants to take us further. I just went through the first part of the Bible in Genesis. If you want to turn there, We'll take a little look at Noah and then more at Abraham. In Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. And then it says what God knew about Noah and what he assured us by his word here. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So here we see that Noah had a relationship. Noah knew God. Noah walked in the way he knew God wanted him to walk. Because it says he was just and perfect, and he walked with God. Isn't that what we all long to have, long to be, walking with God every day? God knew every need that Noah had, and God delivered. Often it's in ways, when we give our cares to him, when we surrender everything, maybe whatever it may be, you personalize it to your life, God cares for that. And often it can happen in ways that we think it's not possible. But God likes to intervene in those ways, because I'm sure Noah would have said, well, I don't know how to get rid of this, or I don't know, but God knew. And it was probably different than what Noah would have said to do. Noah probably didn't have a heart to destroy everybody because of the wickedness. But God knew what he needed to do. Turn over to Genesis 12, and we'll take a deeper look at what the relationship between God and Abraham. One thing that always inspires me is how often through the Old Testament and New Testament, it often refers back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of. So what is it that God relates in that way that he wants us to remember that he was a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And I think it is because he wants us to observe the ways they walk. The way they communicated with God. And also the way God took care of them. Did they do everything perfectly? No. We can very plainly see that Abraham made some mistakes. He lied. There was selfishness that they had to deal with. In Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. He was communicating with Abraham. And from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. We'll drop down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, so here he's communicating. He appeared. He actually showed himself to Abraham there, the way it's worded. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. So as we go through this, I'd like you to just observe how God communicated and how he came to his child there. Verse 14 in chapter 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward. For all this land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Things are happening that Abraham probably didn't think about that would happen. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. We'll read down to verse 4. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. There again, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Chapter 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Verse 9. And he said unto him, Take me. And there he made a sacrifice to God, and God showed him how to do it. Verse 13, and he said unto Abraham. So it's a couple different ways here that I noticed that God is communicating with Abraham. He said, he appeared, he came to him in a vision. Verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Going over to chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And remember what he said about Noah. He was a just and perfect man, and he walked with him. And here, God is asking Abraham to walk before him and be perfect. Verse 9 of chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, and he changed his wife's name, which was Sarai, to Sarah. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Dropping down to verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh when he had promised them a child? Chapter 18, verse 17. Now this is one that always encourages me, what God saw in Abraham and how he trusted him. Verse 17, and the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He's speaking about Sodom, what he was going to do. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. So God, there was something happening between Abraham and God that God saw a faithfulness, and he said, For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. So he's going to bring his family along, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And God wants to trust all of us, especially as men, with our households. He wants that relationship with me and with you. Verse 20, another said, And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Reminds me of what Joshua shared with Nineveh. There they repented. Here they were destroyed. we go over to Genesis 22, here God came in a little different way to Abraham when he asked him to offer his son Isaac. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. I'm not sure how to interpret that with what James says. God never tempts anyone. But here it says, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. With that, my thought is, he's saying, Lord, what do you want? Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Verse 15 of chapter 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham. Here an angel came calling to him out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And we hear this verse that comes to my mind is, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Here it says, because of his faithfulness, and his seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. They shall go in and take their enemies and destroy them. God's heart for us today still. If we go back to Genesis 26, verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So back there we saw promises that God promised to Abraham. Here it's in fulfillment to his son Isaac. Communicating between God and man. Chapter 28, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And here was the next generation. God said, God appeared. The word of the Lord came in a vision. How does God want to speak to us today? We could go on and look at Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of Israel. We could look at Joseph's life. We could look at David, a man after God's own heart. God loves to communicate with his people, and he wants to see a willingness in us to surrender to him. Hebrews. We see a lot of, in Hebrews 11, people that had faith. They believed in their God, and they moved. It moved them to action. They were walking, they were communicating, they were praying, they were freeing their lives of the things that didn't allow them to connect with God. And he took care of them. What's standing out to me is he is taking care of every one of their needs here as they turn to him. And then I thought, but those are people way back there. What about us today? there's also a scripture that says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to be our God. So I encourage us to look at our own lives. God knows and God cares. And God wants us to turn. I could put my name here. God knows, still. And God cares. If we are a child of God, he knows and he cares. And then I thought, I can personalize all my things that come to my mind that I know that God wants to work in my life. And I encourage you to just make a list of what God knows about you. And then how he cares about you. And take that list and pray about it. And seek God. And it will change your life. Because then God can speak to us. God can minister to us. God can show us areas in our life as we think about those things. Where does God want me to go? What does he want me to change? Are all the relationships that I am in where God wants them to be? Am I communicating with God how God wants me to communicate? Am I yielding and willing to give everything so that God can be glorified? Is there any room for a little worry, mistrust? Needs we have, God knows them all. And out of our life will flow either light, life, or death. Just this week we were working in a very ungodly environment. And the contractor that we were working for, very, very ungodly person. But when we talked truth to him, even in just about the job that he was challenging us in, and we told him what the truth is of it, and then explained how it is, he respected us in a better way after that. And I know God wants to minister to his heart. And I think he can. As we continue to work, God wants to continue to minister. But if we have things in our life, and we react back to them, the light will not shine. So if there is anything in relationships, let's do them the way God wants relationships to be. Let's forgive people. Very hard sometimes. The other evening, I was talking with Dan down here in the basement, and we were talking about forgiveness, unforgiveness. He said, not forgiving a person is like drinking poison yourself and hoping it hurts the other person. Me drinking poison and hoping that it hurts my brother, whoever offended me. That kind of ministered to me. If I am not willing to forgive, it's going to hurt me more than anybody else. God loves to be personal with us in every area of our life. God loves to be in our marriages. God loves to be in our homes. God loves to be here at church. God loves to be at the place where we are working. And if we are God's people, how will that turn out? Then it will be God's marriage. It will be God's home. It will be God's church. And it will be God's places that we work. But things do come up that sometimes create some challenges. How do we get through this? How do we deal with that? It might be finances. It might be a truck breaking down. It might be whatever. I started installing cabinets on my own New Year's, and the truck lasted a month and then broke down. So that was some of this inspiration of depending upon God, and God cares for every need. That brings me to a memory of an experience that we faced, another experience with finances that we were burdened with our debt load. And long story short, it ended up that a brother that I didn't even know heard me sharing, and they ended up sending us quite a substantial amount of money towards that so that we could see it through. And I am challenged with that, because we all desire that God flows through his people and a connection between us and God. But the more we can do that, the more we see that happening, the more we... And we'll come back to Philippians again, where it speaks more about that. But it is by connecting with God. It is by being his children and doing things the way God wants them done. And then we will see the love. We will see the light coming out of each other. Another thing that helps me is continually thinking about things that what would God want me to change? What would God want me to do different? And if we're open and seeking God, he will show us those things. He will guide us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul is speaking here to the Philippians. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, what I was talking about just a little bit ago. No church had communicated with Paul, because Paul was seeing that we need to be giving and receiving. We need to be doing that as children of God. But ye only, so the Philippians were doing it, but no other church was. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So that church was observing Paul and observing what needs he had and was fulfilling those needs. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Then in verse 19, it gives that verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there it mentioned Epaphroditus. If you go back to Philippians chapter 2, I'm just going to read starting in verse 8. And we want to come to what Epaphroditus actually did concerning verse 18 here in 4, where it says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received. So he received something of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. Chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, talking about Jesus here, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. We should be yielding at the name of Jesus, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God loves, it's his good pleasure to work in us. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God loves to do that through us, holding forth the word of life as we share his word, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort. When I know your state, he was wanting to know how they are doing. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And that's a sad picture. But let's be honest where we're going, what I'm doing. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see him, how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Here he's speaking about. Paul wanted to send him, my brother and companion in labor. So Epaphroditus and Paul were fellow laborers and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So here we can see that Epaphroditus was actually a minister to the Philippians and also ministered to the wants of Paul. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. So he almost died in his sickness, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul was seeing Epaphroditus as a very dear brother and helper in laboring in the gospel, and God had mercy on them both. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Why should we hold Epaphroditus in reputation? Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. So he was giving his life. Something happened. To supply your lack of service toward me. Epaphroditus was doing the work that he saw lacking in the brethren, and he was willing to give him his life, and he almost died because of it. I thought that was a beautiful picture for myself to observe. Am I willing to give everything so that God can be glorified? The relationship that Paul had and the confidence that he had, I want us to remember that this week as we go throughout this week. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. And we could go on and on with how many riches does God have? What supply does he have? What completeness? He has everything, more than we could imagine. So what if we're sitting here this morning thinking, this message is not for me. I'm not a child of God, so this is not for me. My God has that need also. And my burden is that that's probably more, that's a needier person than any of us that have struggles that we're going through. If we're yielding ourselves to God and we're trying to do it the way God wants. But if we're not willing to yield our life, then we have a bigger need ourselves. So I want to leave with the encouragement that make your needs known to God and to each other. Let's share them with each other. Let's pray about them. Let's cry out to God, and he will supply every need. He will complete it. He will fill our need that we have. And with that, I'd encourage us all to be giving and receiving so that God's light can shine. May the Lord bless you.